Anoint us prophets, teach us thine intent. To human need our quickened hearts awake. Fill us with power, our lips make eloquent for righteousness that shall all evil break. Amen. Writing a sermon is pretty easy. Modern American life is so violent, so brutal, and so inhuman. As anyone who's watched the news, driven on the Beltway, or dealt with automated customer service can tell you. Simply keeping it together is a daily task, and a triumph, and a simple act of kindness can appear as a revolution. The Christian preacher has only to tell you that once upon a time there was a man called Jesus, a nice fellow, who taught us all to be a little nicer to each other. And the church carries on his nice work of being a little nicer to everyone. And the preacher encourages everyone to at least consider being nicer this week. Because being nice makes the world a nicer, better place. Sermons are simply 10-minute variations on this theme, at which point we, the few, the proud, and the nice, all go home and watch football. Now, the world could use some more nice, so please, do be nice this week. But today's gospel tells us that a good sermon is the kind of thing that can get you killed. In a prefiguring of his eventual arrest and crucifixion, Jesus' synagogue attempts to toss him off a cliff after he confronts the assembly with some difficult truths. Sermons and Christian life in general aren't so easy then. For we Christians do not preach nice. Nice is a faith so incomplete it is false. We don't preach nice. We preach love. And come to that, love that bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Before you and I can preach the good news of God and Jesus Christ, we must first confront the bad news, the more difficult news of God and Jesus Christ. That our being nice is not enough. Today's readings reveal how God often goes outside the respectable, usual suspects, the nice people, to reveal God's will among the outcast, the vulnerable, and the powerless. The great King David had two high priests, Abiathar and Zadok, high priests from A to Z. Zadok supported Solomon's claim to the throne, while Abiathar supported a rival. For this, he and his followers were exiled to a place in the north called Anathoth. Generations later, when God saw how temple worship had become corrupted, God looked to a descendant of Abiathar in Anathoth, a priest named Jeremiah, and appointed him over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant anew. God knows how we rationalize our violence, how we cover our sins with a thin veneer of respectability and nice. And God sends prophets to open our unseeing eyes and unfeeling hearts, to shock us and a system awake. Like Jeremiah, Jesus was sent to pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, and build and plant. When Jesus enters the synagogue and speaks, all are amazed and speak highly of him. These synagogue-going folk are, in a word, nice. But Jesus sees how their niceness conceals their cynicism, their hypocrisy, their corruption, their greed, their cruelty, and eventually their violence. And he commits the ultimate homiletic transgression. He points it out. He reminds them that their niceness simply isn't enough. Jesus says that the great prophets Elijah and Elisha did not work miracles among the nice. They were sent to Zarephath in Sidon. They were sent to Naaman, a Syrian. They were sent not to Israel, not to the nice. They were sent to foreigners. And it was that reminder that their presumed niceness at worst served their sins, and at best counted for very little, that drove them to violence. Being nice isn't enough. You see, because nice people do terrible things all the time. Nice can hide tremendous evil. We forget that it was nice people who shouted angry, terrible slurs at people who just wanted to go to school or sit at lunch counters or ride somewhere other than the back of the bus. It was nice people who bombed churches. It was nice people who gathered to lynch. Nice people took pictures with the deceased. Nice people are kind enough to look both ways before they say something offensive. Nice people, or their classmates, depending on which explanation you believe, wear blackface and KKK hoods in their yearbook photos a generation after the civil rights movement. Sometimes they get elected governor. If only they'd said something sexist, it could have been a Supreme Court justice or a president. Nice people begrudgingly give women the same vote as men, but refuse to give them the same wage. Nice people approach male seminarians like me with greater deference than they approach my ordained sisters. Nice, church-going, God-fearing people terrorize transgender people and consign gay people to debunked and decried gay conversion therapy to pray the gay away for their own good. Nice, educated, pious, respectable people commit all manner of horrors all the time. One dark night, a bunch of nice, respectable people gathered and killed Jesus. Don't tell me he was just a nice guy with some nice ideas about how we should all be nicer to each other. His was a struggle against our pious niceties. His was a call to true care for neighbor and the ultimate love of God Almighty. Jesus was not just a nice guy. He was and is our Savior, our priest, our prophet, and our king. And we're called to be the same. His church was not just about being nice. It isn't about being nice. It's about formation in God's love, as this hymn says, being anointed priest and prophet, each in our own way to God's glory. Nice is not enough, for too often it's simply evil. Here in this space, however, love pushes us past nice. This week, let us be nicer, but let us also rededicate ourselves to love, in prayer, in reconciliation, and in service. First, in prayer. We should trust God more than we trust ourselves and our own perspectives. We should put at least as much faith in God as we do in our own actions and our own politics. If you don't have a daily prayer regimen, get one. A few words at the beginning and close of day is enough. You'll soon discover you worship an awesome God who doesn't care all that much for nice. God is too busy caring for you. Reconcile and forgive. Key to the ministry of reconciliation that is given to all Christians is forgiveness. There's a retribution, a kind of justice, that we feel that we're entitled to when we're wronged or when someone is wrong on the internet. Forgiving is foregoing, letting go of that right, that need to avenge yourself. If you find yourself caught up in the digital outrage machine, stop. Pray. Do one concrete thing in the service of a cause you believe in, and then let it go. And whatever you do, don't read the comments. Give it all up to God, who you will find does more than you can ask for or imagine. And then, if God so wills, press on in your ministry of reconciliation. Finally, serve. Your bulletin is full of the ways we serve. Not because they're nice things to do, though they are, but because we're called to such loving service. We feed our neighbors because Jesus fed the multitudes. We're called to teach because Jesus taught his disciples. We gather in our chili cook-offs and ski trips because Jesus called his disciples friends. We're called to love as Jesus loved us. Look at the ministries available and get involved. Your service and your pledge are urgently needed. See, the Finance Committee meets this week, and it will make recommendations based on pledges received to the vestry, who will vote on our final budget for 2019. Now, we had hoped for $425,000 in pledges. That's about what it costs to run this church and all the ways that we'd hoped for the next year. Now, without $380,000 in pledges, vestry and clergy will be forced to cut programming and staff hours, if not staff people. $380,000 is nice. It's respectable. But we're called to more. If you haven't pledged or you're considering increasing, now's the time to serve this community, which formed and forms us in love. We Christians are called to more than pious niceness. We're called to prayer, to forgiveness, and service. Nice is simply not enough. It is at best a first step. The Christian life is not an easy thing. Modern American life is so violent, so brutal, so inhuman, that simply keeping it together on a daily basis is hard work, and an act of kindness can appear to us as a revolution. But being nice is not enough. We're called to something greater than even revolution. And if such things seem impossible, know that God has appointed you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant, to create and destroy as God did, in word and in deed. And God will be with you through everything. Because as Christian preachers will tell you, once upon a time, there was Jesus, who walked among us, for us, and who will return in glory. All true sermons are simply variations on this theme, at which point we, all priests and prophets, each in our own ways, can go forth in the power of the Spirit. And yeah, watch football. The world could use some more nice. So please, do be nice this week. But if you dare, love.